Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight on the old gospel bus?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Brother Jim, little old me, and pray for Emily tonight, personal request.
All right, well, we do know that. And you got any prayer requests of your own?
Continue to pray for my cellulitis is all.
Okay, and also we had Brother Jerry Cox call us in today, earlier today, and he's asking for prayer, just unspoken, so we pray for him. Everybody's heard him on the Thursday show, so we want to pray for him. And, of course, everybody knows the prayer requests that I've had on the Thursday show, so we ask for prayer there, too.
Lord's got mail.
So, Lord, you got mail. All right, so what we're going to do, since we don't have, unless Jim presses number one there, and he has any, we'd be glad to hear from him, but we know that he definitely could use prayer where he's at. So does it look like he pressed the number one, Ruthie?
Not at the present time.
Okay, well, if he wishes to press the number one at the end of the show to give us any kind of prayer request, what have you, we'd be glad to hear from him. But we're going to go ahead and get started and have a good hoedown for Jesus and have a good program here tonight. Amen.
Sounds good. The Lord's on the throne.
Right, and we see that Emily has joined us. You got any prayer requests, Emily?
Just for myself and that things will work out, that I'm, that I can get the cats back to the counseling center so rudely had taken away from me today.
Okay. Because we thought the Normally, when we get started with the music, we just let it keep going on, but we realize you're limited with time on how long you could be on, so we thought we'd get you right in here at the beginning.
Okay. Also, we need to be praying for both my brothers and their wild ideas, giving people ideas when they're already not having nice thoughts about people, that they wouldn't go giving them ideas to do to these people that could cause that particular person that's already angry with these people and cause them a jail cell.
Right, right. And then also, when we go back to the music, what I'll have you do is call my cell and don't forget to give me your PIN. You remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got anything else you want to run by us before we get started back to the show?
Also, be praying for this one nurse, Leanna, down in ER. All of a sudden, she was walking through the ER, passed out. They called a code blue. I don't know what went on with her.
All right.
The Lord's on the throne.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah, also, be praying for me because when they did my blood sugar when I got here in the ER, can you figure out how in the world I could have been up, and you know I was up talking and making perfect sense to you before all this mess went down today. Figure out how in the devil that was happening when my sugar was only 10.
My Lord, you must not have had enough much to eat, darling.
Now that was pretty low. All we can say is that Lord was with you.
Because they said that if I wouldn't have came in by EMS when I did, and it would have dropped any lower, It could have took my life.
Yeah.
It was almost it's a dangerous state.
Right.
Kenny, after this show, I just need to know if you guys could do one favor for me.
Mm-hmm.
Look up the APL number.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that as soon as you call me while we're in the middle of the show on my cell, okay?
Okay, honey.
So let us get back to our hoedown, okay?
Okie doke. Hey, you got your cell with you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call it.
Our praise he does deserve. There is glory in the world.
some 2,000 years ago, God sent his sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself, hung there in our shame. He was spotless and so pure, oh, the Lamb of God for sure. For he took me as I was, oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, for he took me as I was, oh, praise his name.
Well done. Oh,
contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press number 1, join the conversation, and it all gets started here on Sunday. For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the kingdom, don't have much to breathe, my heart's torn in pieces, it's my offering.
Evangelist Timothy Ruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the Squad.
With AJ and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Psalm 15 and verse 2. Psalm 15 and verse 2.
He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh his truth in his heart.
And you notice we talk about walking uprightly, but speaking the truth, not just with your lips, your heart. We'll hear that verse one more time.
He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart.
So we find this in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, found in Psalm 15 and verse 2. Psalm 15 and verse 2. Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you.
with someone so true. I dreamed about Mama last night. She read me the Bible like she used to do. I dreamed about Mama last night. She never closed her eyes in sleep till we were all in bed. And on party nights till we came home, she often sat and read. We little thought about it then, 'cause we were young and gay, just how much Mama worried when we children were away. We only knew she never slept when we were out at night, and that she waited just to know that we'd come home all right. Why, sometimes we'd stay away till one or two or three, it seemed to us that Mama heard the turning of the key. For always when we'd step inside, she'd call and we'd reply. But we were all too young back then to understand the reason why. Until the last one returned, she'd always keep a light, for Mama couldn't sleep until she'd kissed us all goodnight. She had to know that we were safe before she went to rest, 'cause she seemed to fear the world might harm the ones she loved the best. And once she said, when you've grown to women and to men, perhaps I'll sleep the whole night through. I may be different then. And so it seemed that night and day we knew a mother's care, that always when we got back home, we'd find her waiting there. And then came the night that we were called together around her bed. The children are all with you now, the kindly doctor said. And in her eyes there gleamed again that old-time tender light that told us that she'd been waiting just to know that we were all right. Then she smiled that old familiar smile and prayed to God to keep her children safe from harm throughout the years. And then she went to sleep.
I don't have tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow, why, he's the one who stands by me. My portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, 'cause I'm covered, yes, I'm covered with his blood. Many things
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X, E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And now it is time for Timothy Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
The Hebrew word for this week is Yeshua. Word for salvation, but also the way you say the name Jesus. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 declare, "Behold, God is my Yeshua, salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation, Yeshua. Therefore, rejoice when you draw water out of the wells of salvation, Yeshua. The Lord Jesus, Jehovah, saves Jehovah, Jehovah, Jesus eternal, having obtained victory against hell." Again, that's Jehovah, Jesus eternal, having obtained victory against hell. And the word Yeshua, salvation, also the way you say Jesus. Therefore rejoice that you draw water out of the wells of salvation, Yeshua. And John, chapter 4, Yeshua, salvation himself, declared that he himself was and is the living water. Of him if a man partake, indeed he shall never thirst. And in another context of John, the same salvation, the same Yeshua declares that those who believe on him, out of their belt shall flow rivers of living water. So come and draw water out of the wells of salvation, Yeshua, today by faith in Yeshua, salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, manifest in the flesh, for he indeed is and will be your strength. For when we yet without strength in due time, Christ, Yeshua, died for the ungodly. Okay, Kenny.
And that was our Hebrew Word of the Week by Timothy Gruber, and we say, God bless. Amen.
Of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus. tell the story, because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell a story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Same hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it sings of glory, I sing the new song. Will be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to while my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world of victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
I take your Jesus to the land with all. Thank you.
Tree that's planted by the waters. me to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Get ready. He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. And today we're going to have a little message out of Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 19.
Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yes, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth for thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
All right, now we see here in Genesis chapter 3 several interesting things. First off, we find that God had already given a command to Adam and to Eve. She obviously, see, the command was originally given to Adam, but obviously he had told her what that command was from God, that they should not touch the tree. They should not eat from the tree in this case. It wasn't that they weren't supposed to touch it. But they were not to eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. It does not say it was an apple tree. It just says it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But one day, along comes the serpent. At this point, the serpent had legs and stood upright. Now, any game biologist, whatever, will prove to you there are two nubs under the serpent where the legs used to be, but no longer do they have legs. Now, so at this point, the serpent shows up and talks to Eve, the weaker vessel. And he asks her, has God said? He challenges what God had said to them. And when she says, yeah, God said this. But she goes on to say, but God said we're not supposed to touch it. That isn't what he said. Because how could they tend the ground and care for the trees in the garden without getting or touching the tree? See? So right there, she told the first lie. Or I should say the second lie, because the serpent told the first lie. She told the second in response to his lie. So here she's starting to lie because she's being tricked. And with that lie, as all lies do, they snowball. Well, then he uses that tricks her and says, hey, you know, God is basically holding back from you. He knows if you eat from this tree that you will become as God. You'll be like God. You'll know as much as God knows, because right now he's holding back and he's not letting you know everything. And the woman, not thinking, and thinking, oh, well, yeah, God is sitting there holding back. She takes from the tree, not just enough for herself, but thinking that her husband will eat with her. And so she eats. And when she sees that nothing happens to her, she doesn't die right that second. She gets to her husband, convinces him, says, look, I haven't died. I can imagine the conversation. Look, hubby, I didn't die. Adam, honey, I didn't die. Here, have some. And he being now tricked, even though he was not really deceived, he sit there, he just wanting to follow his wife, saying, okay. He says, okay, so he decides to eat too. Then they realize now they're naked. And what do? They invent the first invention, the sewing needle, and the second invention, sewing thread. They sew fig leaves together, their own works to cover up their nakedness, which is far inferior for what God wants. When God shows up, of course, he's not happy with them because they disobeyed. And God tells, then of course, then they start passing the buck. The man says, well, the woman made me do it. The woman says, no, the serpent made me do it. Well, of course, God then curses the serpent, saying on his belly he shall go, eating dust. To the woman, he says, you're going to basically have pain during childbirth. So, ladies, you wonder why it's painful during childbirth? Right there's your answer. And secondly, you're told that your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule. Now, men, get in Genesis chapter 1, we're told that we're going to have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, the creeping things, and all the cattle. That's dominion. Means complete control. And we've learned to do that. We could take a dog and train it so that it goes to the bathroom when we tell it to go to the bathroom, eat when we tell it to eat, drink on a specific schedule, etc., etc. Sit when we tell it to sit, walk when we tell it to walk, lie down. That's complete control or domination. But here he uses the word rule. That means to give a specific set of guidelines. And so that means, like, if you give your wife a list of bills that have to be paid, and you give her the money for them. Now, if you tell her to pay the electric bill first, gas bill second, water bill third, and you get mad because she doesn't pay them in that specific order, that's domination. But if you hand her the money and say, pay the bills, and she goes and pays the water bill first, and the gas bill last, she obeyed you and obeyed your rule because she paid the bills. Because your rule was the guideline to pay the bills. And those were bills. So that's what God said, that the woman would have to follow the guidelines of the husband. And then he said to the man, he would be cursed. The ground would bring forth thistles, etc., to him. And by his sweat of his brow. Hello? We don't like to think of that. But sweat stinks. But God made it to show us curse put upon us because of our disobedience in the garden. He said we'd have to work by the sweat of our brow. Amen. All right, now it is time to see if Pastor Bonnet could tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
Number one, the Board of Absentees will meet each time. The services of the church meet. Ways of keeping the attendance as low as possible will be discussed. C, that we have no enthusiasm for increased attendance. Two, the Board of Absentees will discuss ways of decreasing the offering. Three, the Board of Absentees will seek to weaken the preaching of the word. Four, the Board of Absentees will discuss ways and means of decreasing any revival efforts of the church. Five, the Board of Absentees is composed of the following members: Mr. Real Unconcern, Chairman, Mr. and Mrs. Take It Easy, Mrs. At Ease, Mr. Lazy, Mrs. Every Other Sunday, Mr. and Mrs. Don't Come At All, Mr. and Mrs. Have Company, Mr. Overslept, and Mr. and Mrs. Going Visiting.
All right, Pastor Bryant, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right. And I guess my common message between the two was don't be lazy. And if you want to please God, you got to celebrate the sun. You know, you can't be absent from the things of God and think you're pleasing God. So that's pretty much my only gift of a good one, Missionary Ken. I appreciate it. The challenge here for me was just to put the pen in words. The song was definitely about pleasing the Father through the Son. The poem lets you know that you're not pleasing when you're not celebrating the Son. So that will be my common message. There's ways to please God and there's ways not to please God. So if you want to please God, you must do the things of God. That's the best way I can word it. I don't know if I can word it any better.
Well, you may not have thought you have worded it good, but actually, you were so close to wording it perfect, I'll just give it to you. In order to please the Father, don't be an absentee. Amen. That's what we were looking for, so you had it. So we'll give it to you. Amen.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so very much. I appreciate it. Wow. Definitely, if you want to please God, you got to be active, involved, so don't be absentee. I like it. Okay. Very good.
All right, and now we'll continue on with our program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
When the beast should walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they should rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Joy
off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that famous dark of
tribulation.
When the seven seas are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Okay, this lesson is the 70th week. Much interest is being manifested by Christians, Bible students, and church people in general regarding that portion of Scripture which has to do with the 70th week of Daniel. Scripture reference to this period of time is plainly set forth in this manner. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, Daniel 9 and verse 24, of course in your King James Version. This phrase, 70 weeks, has reference to 70 literal sevens, and in this particular circumstance, it's referring to 70 weeks of years. By using the simple multiplication table of 7 times 70 years, we have a grand total of 490 years. You'll note the entire period of time was determined upon thy people, the Hebrews, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem. This entire period of 70 weeks, or 490 years, is divided into three distinct separate divisions. The first division is seven sevens. 49 years was to be used for the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem and the broken down walls. Scripture, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. Daniel 9:25, King James Version. Yeah, you'd think it would be going to be going pretty soon considering our troublesome times right now. In order to accomplish his will, God moves in strange and mysterious ways. At the close of the Babylonian captivity, which lasted for 70 years after the Medes and Persians had taken over from King Belshazzar and Babylon, God personally spoke to Cyrus, king of Persia, and made known to the king what God's will should be concerning the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem and the walls. God had also spoken to the angel Gabriel, who came to Daniel about the same time, telling him of the 490 years of desolation upon the Hebrew people and upon Jerusalem. You'll also remember Angel Gabriel was also the angel who came to Mary, telling her she would have a child of the Holy Ghost. Scripture. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath judged me, build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Ezra 1, verses 1 and 2, King James Version. Now, Ezra was a scribe. History shows that when Ezra received the decree from Cyrus, king of Persia, a great number of individuals from all of the tribes returned from the Babylonian captivity for the general purpose of rebuilding the temple and restoring the broken-down walls of the city of Jerusalem. Historians tell us this reconstruction period required 49 years. Not only did Cyrus feel compelled of God to help liberate Israel from captivity and issued the decree for the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem and the temple, but he also sent back all the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in the first place. This is undeniable proof that God was in the whole affair from the very beginning. God's usually involved in everything mostly, so you know he knows what he's doing. He's always on the throne. Jeremiah told them in his book they would be in captivity for 70 years. And then God sends Gabriel, the angel, to Daniel, telling him about the combined 70 weeks. And then Cyrus of Persia feels led of God to send a willing remnant of Jews back to rebuild the city and repair the broken wall. Oh, I'll tell you, we have a great God. Yes, praise the Lord. He's awesome. Only God can cause a pagan king to return 5,400 gold and silver vessels to Jerusalem. Please bear in mind, these were the same vessels that were used at Belshazzar's feast the night the hand came out of the darkness and wrote the alarming message of condemnation for Belshazzar when he was weighed in God's scales and found wanting. Daniel chapter 5, and please read that whole thing. It's very informative and interesting. Please do this. Daniel chapter 5 in the King James Version. So we see the first division of the 70 weeks, which was a 7 years duration, was actually begun at the conclusion of the Babylonian captivity, beginning approximately 535 B.C. Of course, we can't be definite about the exact date, but 535 BC, is an approximate date, the first period of section or division of the entire 70 weeks or 49 years was used in the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem and restoring the walls in troublesome times. Well, we're in troublesome times, so you don't know when it's going to be rebuilt. Now, basically, that's the temple now. The city of Jerusalem's already there, so it wouldn't be that hard for them to go ahead and start building a temple, but they're going to have to get rid of the Dome of the Rock. And we'll get into that later. Next, we come to the second division, which has reference to 62 sevens of 434 years from the completion of the walls at the end of the 49 years to the time Messiah was to be cut off or crucified by sinful men. Scripture, and thereafter 62 weeks, or 60 and 14 days, 62, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of the prince. They shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Daniel 9:26, King James Version. In verse 25, there's also a fragmentary mentioning of this same where it says, and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. In other words, in verse 25 and verse 26 of Daniel chapter 9, it specifically mentions 62 weeks, which is the equivalent of 434 years, and in both references it mentions that Messiah shall be cut off. It doesn't give the exact date of Christ's crucifixion, but merely implies that when the 62 weeks has run its course, then Messiah will be crucified. That's exactly what happened. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ ended the second division of the 70th week of Daniel. Scripture, and when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on one right hand and the other on the left. Luke 23:33 KJV. Please bear in mind, Christ died to give forgiveness to sinners. Aren't you glad he did? Because now we can go to heaven and be with him. Praise God. We see that Gabriel the angel came to Daniel and told the prophet that there would be 70 weeks of desolation visited upon the Hebrew people and upon the city of Jerusalem. First division of that 490 years of time was used when Cyrus, king of Persia, and Ezra and several other Hebrew people back in Jerusalem to restore the city, the temple, and the broken down walls. From the time of the reconstruction of the city, the temple and the walls were completed until Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, later to be crucified. 62 sevens or 434 years had transpired. So the seven sevens used in rebuilding of the city and the 62 sevens used for the time the city was completed until Christ was crucified makes a total of 69 sevens or 483 years. The latter completed the second division of the original 70 weeks of desolation to be visited upon the Hebrew people, upon Jerusalem as announced by Gabriel to Daniel. Some people fail to see a very important fact in this portion of Scripture because they study the Scriptures and they do not notice when a certain thing starts or stops. This time of desolation upon the Hebrew people and upon the city of Jerusalem temporarily stopped at the end of the 69 weeks when the Messiah was crucified. In other words, Christ was crucified almost 2,000 years ago. That period of time, which Gabriel announced to Daniel, has not been in operation during any of this time element we know today as the church age or the dispensation of grace. We today are not living in any segment of the 490 years of desolation. Yet the final week or the seven-year period must be fulfilled just as accurately as the first two divisions have been fulfilled in the past. The third division of the 70 weeks, or 70 sevens, will be a seven-year period, and that period of time will be sandwiched in between the rapture of the church and the earthly millennial reign of Christ. That seven-year period, or the 70th week, will end with the second advent of Christ to the earth. Now, as the scripture, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy, Daniel 9:24, in your King James Version. This verse of Scripture has not been fulfilled in its entirety. Neither has the 27th verse been fulfilled. They reach their culmination and final fulfillment to this in the 70th week of the third division of the entire 70 weeks. Naturally, the question comes to mind, whom do the 70 weeks concern? The scripture says the whole 490 years are determined upon Daniel's people and upon Daniel's native city, Jerusalem, as plainly established in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9. The 70th week of Daniel does not concern the church in any sense. In fact, the church was not begun until after the 69th week had run its course because it was concluded into its Messiah being crucified. We have every reason to believe that the church will be raptured before the 70th week begins. John was told to write the message in one of the seven churches of Revelation, completely different message than the other six would have. And that message says that a particular church will escape the tribulation period. The Philadelphia church is the only church that has the promise written in black and white that it will not go into the tribulation period. Scripture. Because thou, Philadelphia church, has kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's Revelation 3:10. So some people think that you're going to have to go through that. Nope. There's the proof from God. You are not. If you're saved now, you're going in the rapture before the tribulation. There's the proof. Concerning the tribulation period, Matthew in the first gospel says in Scripture, for then shall be great tribulation such as what? Not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That's Matthew 24:21, King James Version. Daniel the prophet, writing about this same period of time, some 535 B.C., has this to say. And there shall be time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. Daniel 12:1 KJV. Jeremiah calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. So answering the question, whom do the 70 weeks concern? They concern the Hebrew people and the city of Jerusalem. 483 of the years have already been used. Once the church is raptured and the Antichrist appears, then will begin the 70th week of Daniel, and then the wheels of Bible prophecy will begin to roll toward climactic finality. We're living in tremendous days, looking at the situation just from the standpoint of logic, one would be persuaded to believe the church's stay on the earth is fast coming to a conclusion. If churches or evangelists or missionaries or Bible teachers are ever going to win the lost, then they must do it now. We have no authority to believe this period of time, the church age, will continue on and on. We must be living in the evening of man's day. The 70th week of Daniel is about ready to break over the horizon. The Bible tells us in Daniel 9:27 that an individual previously identified in verse 26 as the prince that shall come will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The scripture is vague concerning this covenant because there is nothing said of the conditions that are to be promised, but we have reasons to believe it will be a non-aggression covenant made between the Jews and the Arabs with the Dome of the Rock building standing over the traditional site of the three previous Jewish temples. We know that there must be some kind of a friendly agreement worked out under the satanic super leadership of Satan's Antichrist, the prince that shall come, acceptable to both Jew and Arab. Perhaps it will be a military alliance bringing into power in a cooperating basis the 10 horns of the book of Revelation are the same as the 10 toes of the book of Daniel. We knew from Daniel and Revelation that a 10-nation confederation is going to assist the man of sin, commonly referred to as the Antichrist. The complete extent of their cooperation is not mainly set forth in Scripture, only that they are in to assist in a helpful nature to the point that Israel will be allowed to rebuild her temple during the last or the first part of the 70th week of Daniel. We know that Israel is vitally interested in the rebuilding of her temple, and there seems no logical time slot in the course of events for her to rebuild that temple except during the 70th week of Daniel. The scripture strongly indicates it will be done at that time. It's interesting to take a retrospective view of Israel's activities over the years and prophetically feel her national pulse relative to rebuilding her temple. Okay, should the temple be rebuilt? Well, there was an article written immediately after the Six-Day War of June 1967. This article says, Israel's conquest of Jordanian Jerusalem, which sent thousands of devout Jews to pray in freedom before the historic Wailing Wall for the first time in centuries, has raised its interesting theological conundrum. Since the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70, conservative and Orthodox Jews have beseeched God 4 times a week to renew our days as they once were. Plea for the restoration of the temple. Learned Jewish opinion has long debated when and how the temple can be rebuilt, whether or not the building of a new temple should wait until the Messiah arrives. Jewish theology presents several obstacles to its construction. An obstacle is that the temple must be constructed on its original site. This could only be done by demolishing Islam's sacred Dome of the Rock, the spot with which Muhammad ascended into heaven, despite their enmity with Arab nations. Devout Jews would be reluctant to destroy the shrine of another faith. In 1948, Israel's chief rabbis ruled at with the establishment of the Jewish state and the ingathering of the exiles. The age of redemption had begun. Okay, many Israel's religious leaders are convinced that the Jews' victory over the Arabs has taken Judaism well beyond that point, says historian Israel Eldad. We are at the stage where David was when he liberated Jerusalem. From that time until the construction of the temple by Solomon, only one generation passed. So will it be with us. Okay. This article was written in 1967. Predicted in 1967 that the temple would be constructed within one generation. Webster's Dictionary says a generation is approximately 33 years. 1967 plus 33, and you have 2000. Is there something I'm not saying it is, but I'm wondering, and we should wonder and ask questions. Please remember, it's during the 70th week of Daniel that unique political and military arrangements will be made in that part of the world. In some way, somehow, and may I say, the temple will be made available for the rebuilding of the Jewish temple. Okay, Jewish history states that all the previous three temples have been built there, stands to reason that Israel is interested in building her fourth temple on that same spot. Of course, we who are members of the body of Christ, regenerated by the Spirit of God, will not be here during that period of time. Because the scripture says we are to be kept from this period of time. We, the born again, will be at the judgment of our works up in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet these events will be unfolding themselves in a chronological manner down here on the earth, and they will affect Christian people and physical people as they transfer, transpire day by day, month by month. In the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, the Bible says the Antichrist will suddenly one day go into the Jewish temple and will tell the world that he is God. Scripture, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Daniel 9:27, King James Version. Allow me to share another verse with you. Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God and shewing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. The middle of the week is marked in a specific way by the Antichrist declaring himself God and the remnant of Israel fleeing for their lives. Okay. Scripture. When you receive, and therefore shall see the abomination desolation Antichrist, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, newly rebuilt Jewish temple. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this night, or ever shall be. Matthew 24:15-21, KJV. Because God gave the promised land to the Israelites for an eternal possession, and because his word cannot lie, God must keep a living possessor of the eternal possession. That's why he has the remnant of Israel, the 144,000, flee into the mountains according to Daniel, and also into the wilderness according to Revelation. God protects them in that secret place during the last half of the tribulation period. Now that we have come to the middle of the week, we find the remnant of Israel fleeing into the stone city of Petra, which is more than 2,000 years old, and we also find the Antichrist to receive special power from Satan for this last half of the 70th week. Up to this point, he has been operating more or less under his own power, guided by the own wisdom, doing the very best he could by our national politician. At the halfway point, the 7th week, he received special power from Satan. Scripture, and the dragon, Satan, gave him Antichrist, his power and his seat and his great authority, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and all that devil or dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Revelation 13, verses 2 through 8. The Antichrist at the halfway point in the 70th week of Daniel becomes a supernaturally empowered human being who has control every facet of the world's mode of living. He becomes the supreme one, ruler of the peoples of this earth. So he can do a grand job for Satan. He receives a helper no human being who has the same power as he does. Scripture, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. And he, second beast, doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Revelation 13, 11-13, King James Version. Beginning with the middle of the seventh week, there are two demon-possessed, satanically empowered human beings, coordinating their combined efforts to bring about every facet of this world into harmony of service for Satan. To help facilitate bringing the world under the absolute dictatorial control, world government, God, through his permissive will allow 10 nations in Europe who, even before the Seventh Week began, were formed in the last half Seventh Week, they are going to operate with the Antichrist and the false prophet 100%. These 10 powers, known as the 10 horns in Revelation, and by the way, they are the same as the 10 toes in the book of Daniel, are the revised dominant empire, meaning they are 10 distinct individual countries geographically located within the scope of the original Roman Empire territory, and their one purpose for being in existence during the last half 70th week of Daniel is that they may assist the Antichrist. Scripture, and the two horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, so the words of God shall be fulfilled. John, or Revelation 17, 12 and 13 and 17. During the last half of the seventh week, the world will see tremendous persecution prevailing at an international scale, never before experienced by human beings. You may have read Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is to be a historical record of the suffering of the early Christians. But that which is going to take place during the first half of the 70th week, all is evolved or exceed anything has ever happened or ever imagined by human minds in the way of persecution and suffering. The Antichrist, the false prophet, who will be demon-possessed during the period of time, will control the world with dictatorial regulations never before experienced by mankind. That's why God has to hide the 144,000 Israelites in a secluded place in the mountains of Edom, as he will have legal possessions of the Abrahamic possession at all times. The reign of the Christ and the world worshiping him as God will continue from the middle of the 70th week, though, or through all the judgments that will be poured over upon the inhabitants of the world during that 1,200 or 3.5 years. Must remember that during this same period of time, God wants to send two men from outer space drawn to the earth, and they shall become God's two witnesses. That will be Enoch and Elijah, 42 months or 3.5 years, and that is settled there. They bring all kinds of judgments and plagues upon the Antichrist and the false prophet and the people of the world. Those people are finally killed at the end of the 70th week. Their bodies lie for 3.5 days dead in the streets of Jerusalem, and then suddenly they come alive, stand up on their feet, and there where they committed of God, come down from heaven. They are translated to Hebrew right before the eyes of the peoples of the world. Prior to the killing of these two nations, the Antichrist and the false prophet, with Satan's help, have begun to move on, interested our international army to be gathered at Jerusalem to be enlisted in the war of Armageddon. Scripture, and I saw three unclean beasts, or spirits like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. This is the Pope. Where they are spirits of devils, demons, and working marishals which go unto and the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle or war on that great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, Revelation 16:13-16 in KJV. And about the time a miracle takes place in that part of the world because the great river Euphrates dries up, this will be a literal drying out of the headquarters, or Euphrates, I mean, the same as it was a literal drying up of the Red Sea to allow the Israelites to cross over dry land. Purpose of this miracle is to prepare the way for the kings of the east to become involved in the Antichrist great army, which is to oppose Jesus Christ at the second advent. The Antichrist and the false prophet and satanic ingenuity recruit a vast army of light of which the world has never seen before, and that army is gathered for one purpose: oppose Jesus Christ, who is going to restore to the earth, to claim that title deed of this earth. Scripture, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him, Jesus Christ, and sat on the horse and against his army. Revelation 20, verse 19. At the right psychological moment, as the two witnesses have been brought back to life and are traveled up to heaven, as they go up, suddenly heaven is open and Jesus Christ appears in the heavens riding a white horse followed by the armies of heaven, each of them riding white horses, and Christ with a vast array of white horses returns to the earth to defeat the forces of Antichrist. When the war of Armageddon is over, the Bible says Jesus Christ takes the two ringleaders in the earth-wide rebellion and throws them alive into the lake of fire. Scripture, and the beast was taken and said with him, the false prophet that brought miracles before him with which he derived them, he received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both Antichrist and false prophet were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelation 19:20. Then those who are in the war of Armageddon but escape being slain in the battlefield are miraculously slain by Jesus Christ. Scripture, and the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. Revelation 19:21, King James Version. This does away with the Antichrist and false prophet and those who were in the Antichrist army. And then miraculously an angel comes down from heaven, takes the old devil and binds him to chains, opens up the bottomless pit, which is in the lower regions of the earth, puts the devil in that bottomless pit, prison house, and the devil is confined there for 1,000 years. I should rather get rid of him. Scripture. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, being and having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he had laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. He might deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. That concludes the 7th week. God has given the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet the opportunity of being ruled the entire world with a fist of iron for 3.5 years. Out of their vigorous rule came universal chaos. All who professed God in any way were killed. Everybody, in order to maintain body and physical life, were required to take a mark in order to buy groceries. The very essence of the evil permeated every segment of the world society during the last half of the 70th week. God showered down his judgment upon the unbelieving world, but at the conclusion of the 70th week, God sends his appointed dictator, Jesus Christ, who will unmercifully bring judgment upon the satanic criminals and bigots who led the rebellion against righteousness and persecuted any who dared call upon the name of God. That's why God allows Christ to come back as his absolute dictator, because it requires that kind of a leader to put down the Antichrist and his satanically inspired kingdom that was on the earth at that time. That's why the scripture describes Jesus Christ's rule in this manner. And he, Jesus Christ, shall rule them with a rod of iron. Revelation 19:15, King James Version. Satan. He has to use the same kind of force on that sinful world that Satan had used previously. The 70th week closes victoriously because God's Son comes to begin a reign of a millennium in duration. And we're next up to the next lesson, why a tribulation period?
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and Band of Angels. They're always there. And then we have you, Brother Jim, and me.
All right, well, since we don't think usually he doesn't press the number one unless he has.
No.
All
and
right.
I'm running out of power.
Well, then real quick, give us a closing prayer and we'll be out of here.
Well, Lord, we hope you, everybody got a good blessing out of the lesson and everything else and music and everything else that went on today. And we just be with Emily and we just want to praise and bless your name. Amen.
Amen.